हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 104. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. Brahman, as the creator, does not have the fault of inequality, vaishamya, and cruelty, nair grinye. Why? Because the creator carries out creation according to the jiva's karma. Sampekshatvat, there is proof. Scripture shows this. Esha eva sadhu karma karayati tam yam ebhebhyo lokebhya unni shate. Esha eva sadhu karma karayati tam yam adho niniyate. The Lord makes him do good actions whom he wants to raise to higher places. He makes him do bad actions who he wants to lead to hell. Footnote 48. The idea here is not that the jiva has no free will, but that the Lord is the ultimate agent. The Sutrakara later in his work, in Vedanta Sutra 239, Parat tu chach trutehe, established how the Lord is in truth the ultimate agent. The Supreme Lord enters all the jivas, resides within them, controls them, and makes the jiva perform good or bad actions. Hence the jiva's ability arises from the Lord. So he makes them do means that they want to do, so then he makes them do. Just like you want to scratch the top of your head, so then the Lord makes your hand go up and scratch your head. Right? So he's making you do because it's what you want to do. Because otherwise you can't do it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
We are doer only in the sense of desire, because that.
Yes, that's the limit.
Do you think that we are actually the ultimate?
Yes, but on the material platform, we make very much that distinction, right? But when you're dealing with the spiritual platform, you don't need to make the distinction, because then you're dealing with Krishna, and so therefore, then it's not a problem. That like you say, I pick this up with what? I pick this rock up with?
Hand.
Yes. But whose hand?
Your hand.
No, my hand, not your hand.
Is the hand given by material nature?
Huh?
I'm picking up with the hand given by the material nature.
Yes. So the point is it's Krishna being everything, it's him. Hmm. So he's doing. But that's not the main point. You take it as whatever's going on. Because it's about rasa, the interaction, the pastimes with the devotees. So you don't have to worry that, you know, how much they're doing or not doing. Because the main thing is this desire, because that's what you're feeling. Ichashakti is fulfilling desire. So if your desire is in line with the Lord's desire, then it works. Does that make sense? Yes.
So if it's in line, it works. But we see, for Karmi and Jnani, it's not in line, still it works, but it works to different degrees. It's not that all the desires fulfilled. Some desires are, some partially fulfilled. So what's the mechanism of that?
Means the mechanism is your, you know, the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. They're taking care of these things. Right?
Yeah.
So it's just like they're taking care of everything in the cosmos. So it's the same thing. When you have a reflection, it's working on the same mechanics. The perversion in the material world is that it's not about Krishna. That's the perversion. So in the natural form, you see in the beginning of creation, everyone's following very nicely the Vedic culture, doing everything appropriately. So the things that go on, let's say in Brahma's palace and Indra and all these are standard things that you would see as far as the mechanics go that would be going on in the spiritual world. But the difference is this has not become perverted. It's not about Krishna. It's about themselves. Then you can pervert the perversion, where now you don't even use the activities and that would be the ones in the spiritual world. But the mechanics of how things move in that is still the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So mechanics don't change like that. So it's that the Lord, through the material modes of nature and that, then makes everything run. So it's the modes of nature. So each thing has its own specific mechanics. But like in the body, then the desire is there, then that will then push on the life airs, which will then push on the fire, which will push on the muscles, which will then scratch the top of your head. So that's mechanically what's going on. But why it does that, that's all done by the modes of nature. So you're talking about serious management here. You know? Like that. So all this is going on. And then in between, you have material nature, of course, is there. You have the demigods doing their part. You know?
Yeah.
It's a good thing that how you say? Yeah. You know, it's shut to your pastime. It's that, because if it was like Bengali bureaucrats, could you imagine up there? You know, it's like you want to blink your eyes, but the guy's drinking his tea. You know, and so you can't blink your eyes and stuff. You know, like that, yeah. Yeah, so they're quite efficient. You know, it's because it's Krishna's universal management, not.
And here?
Hmm?
And here it's not Krishna?
It's Krishna. It means the mechanics works the same. It means that you flick the switch, it goes up and down, and you move the hand and all that. It's just that when they decide to move it up and down, because Krishna moves according to your desire. They don't want to move the switch. They want to drink their tea. And when they're finished with their tea, then they'll move the switch. As long as, you know, the wife doesn't call, or, you know, some other important work, you know, like that. Like going and seeing what's all the noise going on in the next room, or, you know, all these important things. And then when, you know, there's no other important things, then you take care of these ordinary kind of things, like, you know, moving the switch up and down to make the electricity work or not, or, you know, stuff like that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, also that the results that anybody gets, like karmis or gyanis, that depends also on how much, to what degree do they follow the scriptures. If it is aligned with the scriptures, then they get the max results. Otherwise, then...
Means if it's in line with the scriptures, they'll get maximum results, and if it's not, it'll get less. Yes, that's always there. So, but the point is that even they get the maximum result, it still won't be satisfying because it's already a perversion. You can only get satisfaction in reality. When you're dealing in illusion, you can't be satisfied.
Maharaj, we see when acharyas come here, they also live with us, but then their results are much, much beyond than what other people achieve. So,
you want to make a management course, success course based on what they
what
do?
What is their, like, how their consciousness is, like, how we can also follow in their footsteps, like?
How is their consciousness?
Yes, we also have to, like, Prabhupada did book distribution.
No. That would catch. I'm just wondering how is it... See, is in this question, what are the options?
Options?
Means what are the various options? Because you're saying, what did they do? That means there must be a variety of options that is available to discuss. What are these options?
Not able to get the question.
You're saying, okay, it's just like, let's just say, okay, you know, these guys, you know, you come to the restaurant, you know, what do you eat? What are they, I mean, in other words, what are the options? You're saying, what do they do? What do you mean by what they do?
No, what I'm telling you, they do many services.
Yeah.
And we also do services, but their result of services is much beyond, like.
Yeah, so... What is the question about?
What the consciousness are, how they see, how they like. Here we think we are the doers.
So I'm saying, what are the options of their consciousness?
In principle, they are acting as servant. in principle, but okay. In detail, I wanted to know how.
So when you say detail of servant, what do you mean by detail of servant?
Detail of servant, like you have to preach. Prabhupada goes to West, so he also takes initiative. But when we try to do something, we feel we are the doer and we have to get into the. We are the main leader, then only we'll do. But there, Prabhupada was like.
So aren't you answering your own question? No? So it's all the things that it said, how you should be Krishna conscious, that's what they do. And to the degree we follow that, it works. And when we don't follow it, it doesn't work. Because it's not about the mechanics. It means if you're working in karma, how well you deal with the mechanics is how well you'll get the result. Right? But now, whether you get a long-term good or bad karma from that result, that depends upon, is it your duty or not? Is it according to scripture or not? Right? In other words, there's the mechanics that the scripture gives. Then there's who's supposed to do what. And then there's what it's for. You know, what is your goal and why is that there? What's the ultimate purpose of that? So you have all these things happening at once. It's not that it's just you follow mechanics, it works. What's your reason for following the mechanics? Who are you? Are you supposed to be doing that? Yes. That's why it's guna and karma. Right? Karma means you have the knowledge and skill. Guna means you have the proper attitude, and therefore you have then it's there. Then it's time, place, and circumstance. Is it your duty to do that at that time? So you have all these things, but it's the same thing. It's the same mechanics. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then these same mechanics, then everybody is following. Those who are successful follow it nicely. Those who don't, they're not following it. So it's not a trick. You know, it's just like, let's say, you get a machine or something, and then there's some instructions what to do. 1, 2, 3, 4. You follow 1, 2, 3, 4, it will work. But if you want to leave out 3 or leave out 1, or you don't want to plug it in, but you'll go through all, you'll do all the steps except plugging it in. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, so you'll leave, so it won't work. So it's modes of nature created by Krishna. It's there. It's just a standard system. But the problem is because people are independent, they want to follow it the way they want to, how they feel like. Right? Before it was just standard. Everybody did the same thing. And you expected everybody to do the same thing. So even if it was different cultures, that the mechanics were the same. You know, just as an example, it was a big shock when during World War II that they were dealing with the Eastern Front, you know, over in Japan and over that side. Because in the Western terms, no one will do something that will jeopardize their own life. So you know that. The Allies, the Axis, they all know that that's what someone's going to do. They're going to act in a way that's going to preserve their life. So no one will ever do anything too crazy. Right? It's standard. So it didn't matter which side you were on, that's how everybody worked. Right? So then they go over on that side and they're fighting over there with Japan and they come flying in with their airplanes. So they're shooting at the airplanes. Then the planes keep coming. They're shooting at the airplanes. The planes keep coming. And, you know, they're right there where you could shoot at them. You know, no one would do that, but since they're there, and then they expect them at, you know, before they get close that they'll, you know, pull up and then circle around to try to attack again. They don't. They just keep driving until they hit the plane, hit the boat. They couldn't understand that. It's just like, why would anybody do that? You understand?
Muslims got the idea now.
Huh?
Muslims got the idea.
Yeah. Like that. It's a Japanese thing, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So these are things people just don't do. You know, so the whole thing is there's standard mechanics how the material world works. You follow the mechanics, it works. Now that it gets bigger and bigger and more complex. It is standard mechanics. It's not different. This whole idea is, oh, that there's so many systems. There aren't so many systems. There's one system. There's only one. It has so many facets to it, you can look at it at different angles, emphasize different things depending upon what's missing. But it's one system. It doesn't change. You understand? And so then within that, anybody who follows it will be successful in that mechanics. Right? Now, whether they have the karma to follow all the things or not, that's by their karma. So even though they know the knowledge, they can't follow it all. Or they don't get the opportunity, or something's missing. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, as you follow the mechanics, it works. Right? Now, whether you're supposed to be doing that or not is another thing. Right? Does that make sense? That's then what is then the social dharma. You know, you understand? That's the varnashrama. Are you supposed to be doing that or not? Because all you have to do is follow the mechanics, it'll work. But are you supposed to be doing that? That's what then defines your future good or bad karma. So if you're doing activities you shouldn't, you'll get a reaction in that area. So in the future you won't have that facility. Right? Does that make sense? But now, why are you doing that? Why do you do that? Why are you following the mechanics? Because the specific mechanics and knowledge and skill will give you a very specific result. Why are you doing that? What's your motive? That's your attitude. And then, ultimately, so that's okay, so now you have your result, you have the attitude, like that, so it'll create an experience. But ultimately, what's that for? If it's for you or for Krishna? Right? So because these great acharyas, they do everything for Krishna, where's the fault? Even if there's a fault in the mechanics, is there actually a fault? No. That's the whole thing. So we have to know that the secondary, that we're expert at secondary aspects, that's good. That means we have some knowledge and skill we can use in Krishna's service. But if the attitude's wrong and it's not about Krishna, then what does it have to do with reality? Does that make sense? So, that's the problem in the modern context. It's always how much knowledge and skill and how successful you can apply that. That means how successful you are in life. But that's a total illusion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a known secret that the very successful people in the world are not any happier, or maybe even less happy than just the ordinary, you know, guy on the street. But, you know, you're not very happy being the guy in the street. So if you could be the guy on the street with those things, then that would be better. But once you get those things, it doesn't give, you know what I'm saying? Because it can't satisfy the soul. So we have to be able to move on from this focus on the mechanics and how it works and how can I control it and how can I get some benefit from it and how can I get better, because that's what makes devotional service great. We have to move on from that. We have to accept that, yes, according, knowledge and skill are useful in getting results, but if it's not engaged in Krishna service, it's a waste of time. So we go, yeah, of course it's for Krishna, and then just focus on the skill. Where's Krishna in it? Maybe at the very end you'll give it to Krishna, and that's good. That's called renunciation. So it is Krishna conscious, 100%. But then in 18.1 of the Gita, then Krishna's pointing out that there's a higher level where all the way through you see it for Krishna, not just at the end. Because when I go, yeah, it's for Krishna, and just focus on that, no, it's about you. It's totally about you. But you're willing to give the result at the end to Krishna. That makes you a devotee. That makes it devotional service. But that's called renunciation. You renounce something that's yours. If it's not yours, like that bag, I renounce that bag. I take no claim on that bag and that. And so, yeah, you can have that bag. Does that have any real meaning? Yeah, so the point is it already belongs to Krishna. And so as long as you think it's mine, that you give it to Krishna, that's good. But ultimately you have to know it's not yours, it's Krishna's. So you're just dealing with Krishna's energy for his satisfaction. So that aspect, that mentality of sannyas, is all the way through. So this whole thing of being attached to this mechanistic system, you know, I mean, or look, being attached to the mechanistic aspect of the process, and then claiming that we're special because the results we get are so much better than anybody else. How is that devotional service? How is that mentality devotional service? It's not. But because it's being engaged in devotional service, then it becomes devotional service. Only afterwards. You understand? So that's the difficulty in this modern thing, that being, you know, first class, being professional, being all these things. It's all right, but if it's an identity, it's not devotional service. Not at all. You're engaged in devotional service, but the mentality is not. It's ultimately for Krishna, so then your goal is for Krishna. But your knowledge and skills and you're getting the results, that's for you. Because you're trying to see, I did a great job, I'm so fabulous. How is that? Where's Krishna in that? So this is the weakness. Yes, you want to catch those who are able to be successful in the material world because they know how to move the material world so they can organize things to get people, you know, engaged in devotional service. They can do amazing things. But it's only amazing because it's connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, what's the big deal? You know what I'm saying? We hear about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he'd do parikrams in Vrindavan and Navadvip with 10,000 people. Standard. What do we talk about in this? We talk about that he had a parikram and that they're all there and they're all hearing and chanting. Right? Okay? Now, basically speaking, no one can organize a parikram for 10,000 people. Right? Now, there are some people who can. But in today's environment and how crazy and space and this and that, they don't. They limit it to about half. And they do that. No problem. No sweat. But where's the focus? It's always about, you know, getting this and the trains and the buses and arranging all this and that and all the places to stay and the food and we brought this with us here and that with us there and this guy's in charge here and there and all. That's the difference. It's all about Krishna. But the difference is when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is doing it, it's sannyas. And when we're doing it, we tend towards renunciation on a good day. Because ultimately, if you bring it up, it's always about Krishna. So any devotee, no matter how materialistic they may be, if you poke, it's always about Krishna. That's what makes them a devotee. That's why they're different than the karmas. But you have to know that there is a difference between renunciation and sannyas. So we practice renunciation trying to get to the understand the position of sannyas. So when you say, well, what's their trick? What are they doing? Why? Because it's sannyas. It's all about Krishna. If it's 100% about Krishna, then why wouldn't they get a good result? Right? Because it's not a mechanical thing. The mechanics, how well you do the mechanics, that's how it works out. And the Krishna's likes, even things you not so good, it'll work out. But one has to be very, very careful here. Otherwise, then this idea comes in as who's better like this and that. And then with time, the guys that are smarter, the guys that are more like that, their family, their groups, they're that, they become the leaders and all that. And then they're the guys sitting around this table wearing the suits. You know, and so what's the difference? So it just falls back into another mundane, you know, caste system. Does that make sense?
How then, Maharaj, is sannyas mentality cultivated directly? Because currently,
what do you mean directly?
Because currently we want, we do renunciation. That we are doing activities and then offering to Krishna.
But it's through knowledge. It's through knowledge. You understand, you know, then you try to apply that. You try to be Krishna conscious while you're applying it. What we're saying is we have a tendency to not be Krishna conscious when we perform the mechanical aspects of the activity. But if at the end we give it to Krishna, or now and again remember Krishna, and at the end give it to Krishna, then it's perfect. Right? But then being able to do it where it's just for Krishna, that's more perfect. In a sense. And then if you do it on the level of prema, that's the most perfect. It's a matter of being Krishna conscious. It's not something else. There is no new information. All we're doing here is going down and putting one word under the ion microscope and then looking at one syllable. But it's not that it's some new information. It's a new philosophy. Whatever is given in Bhagavad Gita, that's it. There isn't any more than that. That's the way it says, the ABCs, right? Is it that when you start school, you learn ABC, right? You know, and that. You get through Z, okay? And then as you grow up, then and when you get into middle school, then they add a few more letters and a few more this and that. Then when you get into university, they say, forget all that stuff, and they give you something else. Then when you do your postgraduate, then they give you something else. You know, that's not the real alphabet. This is the real alphabet, you know. Like that, you know, they get out, what do you call it? The alphabet soup, you know, and then something like that. This is the real way to do it, yeah, you know. Does that make sense? It's the same letters, it's not any different. The words are the same. Whether you're in grade school or you're in, you know, postgraduate like that, or you're a Nobel Peace Prize laureate for, you know, in literature or something, is the word spelled differently? You know, that's why they got a Nobel Prize, because they spelled all the words differently. Because if that was the way it was, then what is his name? Mark Twain, he would have been a multiple, you know, prize winner. Because he found it annoying that we have to stick to one way of spelling. You can spell it so many ways. Just like, look at it. Lion. Lyon. That's how they used to spell it. It works. You could also spell Lain or Lion. Right?
The kids would love it.
Yeah, the point is this. So he would always use these different spellings. And if you look at old documents that go back, you know, from 1700s back, in the same letter that people are writing, sometimes the word has two different spellings. And nobody cared. But then, you know, some lexicographers, because all they do is sit in the room all day and try to put words, to organize words, then they got bent out of shape, so they wanted to standardize it. But otherwise, there's sounds. You just make it work. Because you're bringing, English is made of so many different languages. So why you wouldn't use, so the words came in from these different languages, so they just, you know, either stick to the original. It's a French word, you just spell it the French way and say it the French way, or you know, mix and match. You know what I'm saying? But they make it fit. Right? So the point is there's one spelling for the word. Does that make sense? So it's not that there's a different mechanical system, because that's the problem. We think, mechanically they're doing something different. No, it's consciousness. It's just consciousness. So you're trying to develop consciousness, you're using the mechanics, because that's what we're aware of. And two, that's what's used anyway in the spiritual world. But we put all the focus on the mechanics, so in the spiritual world, it's just an assistant. You know what I'm saying? The expert chef, then it's about cooking, and he uses different, you know, utensils in the kitchen to get his work done. But it's about the cooking. Now, someone who's, you know, an enthusiast in cooking, it's about the stuff and his technique. And he's doing something, hey, watch this, I'm going to flip this and, you know, do that. Whoa, you know. You know, so, you know, it's all show to him. But for the cook, it's not, where's the show? You know, you see them, you know, dropping the spices from here. You think it's show. No, it's because if you drop it from here, it spreads out more. You drop it from here, then you got a lump right there. You drop it from here, it spreads over the whole thing. So there's no show. It may be artistic, but it's not a show. You know what I'm saying? It's just that they're so refined at it. They're just so good at the mechanic. But it's not that it makes it, that's what makes it any different. It's the consciousness that makes it different. Yes, you can add in the subtleties of the emotional and all those different things, and that will have an effect, but it still won't give any satisfaction to the soul unless it's connected to Krishna. So even if you get the mechanics and the emotional all perfectly balanced, right, then the point is if it's not about Krishna, it's not going to satisfy the soul. Does that make sense? So you have to, it's about consciousness. And then, what are we discussing? It's all about understanding. If you understand Krishna doesn't have this problem of inequality, then would we ever ask the question, why is this happening to me? Because if he's equal, it's happening to you because he only fulfills what your interest is according to your karma. So therefore, if it's happening to you, then you're the cause of it. There's no one else. But because we won't accept this point, therefore we keep asking the question. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point is these are made so we understand, then we move on. It's not that, oh, now we're on this sutra, so then all those things before we learn don't apply.
Yes, yes.
They still apply. So you're building. So you're just getting more and more understanding of the thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like, okay, we put this one, we put that one. Okay. So then the two go, you know, together. But then you could also look at, you know, the nature of where it is, how it is. Okay, and when it sticks off like that, then you put it over here so it doesn't stick off like that. Then you can either put it here so it's close, but since it's now back there, you can also get the thing because then it's like that. You can do different things with it, but it's finer details. But it's the same thing. It's not that now it's two different flowers. You know what I'm saying? It's just you're getting more and more aware of what you're dealing with. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, and you have to understand it's the consciousness that makes the difference. Right? Then supporting that is proper attitude. And then supporting that will be applying that. So that means the knowledge and skills. So knowledge and skills is the lowest. Then you have the attitude, then which gives the proper form to it. Then that being practically applied is higher still. Just like a Brahmin who has knowledge is higher than a Brahmin who doesn't have knowledge. But a Brahmin who has that knowledge and applies it is higher than the one who has it. And the one who applies it and has realization is higher again. And the one who has realization and is surrendered to Krishna, he's the highest. You know what I'm saying? So there is a hierarchy. Yes, that emotional content is more important than the mechanics. But without the mechanics, how do you express it? Right? So those people who just say, oh no, it's just the mood and all that. That's nice. It's sentimental. And it goes great for the moods. In interaction and certain aspects of relationship, but in getting things practically done in the world, it doesn't get anything done. Because it's either all knowledge and skill or all mood. Because that's all that's seen. But the point is, if you want results, you have to have the knowledge and skill. If you want to have the good experience, you have to have the attitude. So one, it's all about the experience, and one, it's all about the results. And even if you do get it, okay, now we balance that and you should have a bit of both and all that. Even you get that, how will it be pleasing to Krishna? Unless it's done for him. It won't please you, it won't please the soul. Krishna won't please anybody. So that's why it's about Krishna consciousness. Then in Krishna consciousness, you're going to express that. You have to express that through knowledge, skill, and mood. Right? And so then that will give rise to results in the experiential. But that's for Krishna. So we always have to remember is, oh, what are they doing? It's different. It's the mood. And if we're thinking, oh no, but what are they doing in the other two? Yeah. then how much is necessary? If we don't understand the one, these other two don't have any meaning. Right? In devotional service.
And what is the difference between attitude and consciousness? Is it the consciousness higher than attitude and then all this?
Attitude is your emotions. And consciousness is what you're conscious of.
Right, as you explained previously, often we have a combination of leaders, like say co-presidents.
Okay.
One is, he has the right mood, but his sadhana is very flexible.
Well chosen.
And the other, he's very strict, he's paka, but a bit bureaucratic and stiff on the mood. So that combination, is it a good combination of leaders?
As long as they can cooperate, as long as you get the result.
But then the difficulty comes, whose word is the final word?
If they're cooperating, it has to be the cooperation, that their word is the final.
Because one throws the rules and one says the mood is that what counts.
But what actually counts is the Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So, ultimately, it's whose Krishna conscious wins. That's the actual point. But as far as others are concerned, it's what they as a combination have come up with. That's the authority. But between themselves, then they have to respect each other for what they're bringing to, you know, to the discussion. Because the one is, he's very pukka and all that, so that aspect has to be respected because that's recommended. But also the mood's recommended. So the two of them, they have to cooperate. Because one may have a good mood, and on the mood, then that'll be good. People, his interaction will be good in that, but his actual life, then is not, you can't take example. The other one, you can take good example. He's there, he's sitting there, he's chanting, he's not falling asleep, he's doing all those things. So you can follow that. So you want that with the other one's mood. So you have to take what's good from either one. You know, it's like you have a pile of potatoes and a pile of avocados. Or so you take which ones are good. You know, some of them. But ultimately, it's about the grilled halloumi. So,
you mentioned that guna will give you experience and karma will give you the results.
Yes.
Consciousness will give us ananda.
Consciousness, what will consciousness give us? Consciousness is just a matter, it will give you. It generates the ultimate context of the experience that you're getting, the specific experience that you're going to get. So it's just a matter of, you have five levels you can function at. So the highest level, that will be prema. It's prema that is there, not ananda. You know what I'm saying? Because the ananda is you know, an aspect of what form ananda takes. Because we're taking ananda means, you know, some kind of, how you say, exuberance. But that ananda may be in the form of you know, whatever that's going on in the pastimes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, like Uddhava, is he not in ananda when he's sitting there and they're having they're all sitting in the court and having their discussions about what's the best thing to do for Dwarka and all these things.
Yeah, he is in ananda.
Yeah, he's in ananda.
His ananda is generic and the details can go to the five levels. Prema is just...
No. Because ananda is only on the level of anandamaya. Below that, there's no ananda.
Yes, Maharaj. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you ask about consciousness.
Yeah, but I'm asking on the spiritual level, not the material side.
Then say.
Yeah.
Means you please Krishna, so therefore then you're pleased. Mm-hmm. Because the mechanics and all that will get results that you offer to Krishna. The attitude you have, that's going to give that experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
We don't have five levels of consciousness in the spiritual world. There's only one level.
Yes. But we were discussing this world. So that's why then the question, then if it's going to adjust to just the spiritual, then you have to say that. Okay. This Shruti shows, Darshati, that the Lord is the indirect cause for jivas attaining the status of devatas, etc. The Lord considers their karma while doing this. Right? So, according to their endeavor in that, but they also have the karma. So if they have the karma, they get the results, even though the knowledge and skills they have isn't actually up to the mark, they'll still get the result. Right? But even if they have the knowledge and skills, if they don't have the karma, they do all the things, they won't get the result. Because that's the whole point. It's not that we're the controller, I did the mechanics, therefore I get the results. No, it's Krishna's world. It works according to what you've actually done. The whole overall is seen. Because it's about the soul developing their consciousness or relationship with Krishna. That's what you're trying to do. That's the material world. So you have to look at all the lifetimes. You can't just look at what they did right now. You have to also look at what they did last week, you know, the week before that, last year, last lifetime, 10 lifetimes. It's all there. So all that's seen. That's why Krishna, because he doesn't forget anything, we do. That's why then he's the one that sanctions.
Can you say, as practitioners, we need to focus more on your consciousness part, work on that, so that you are more Krishna conscious, and automatically the guna follows, the right guna follows.
Yeah, if you're working on consciousness, it'll follow. Everything will follow. Because why would you want to become more expert at a field of knowledge or an application of that knowledge?
To please Krishna.
Yes, so if that's there, then that's there. Now, if you're doing it because it'll please you, then the result won't be as good. You won't be satisfied. Yes.
Maharaj, Mimamsakas, it's all about karma.
Mm-hmm.
So in their philosophy, who awards the results of their karma?
The Lord.
So they accept that part.
Yeah, but their idea is that unless I do the work, he can't give the result.
So he's dependent on us.
Yeah. So therefore, you know, in a very pious way, they've made themselves the supreme controller and enjoy it. You know, so it's his laws, it's his things, he's controlling it, he's great, and so that's fine. It's just we're doing the work, we get the results. So it's all about us. So, you know, God's created this carnival just for our enjoyment. Right? You know, I think that's in the... Yeah, after the first one and the third page, then after a couple of verses, then that's the point that's made.
That's our line.
Yeah.
They'll use karma nevadikaras. That is why. Karmis use karma nevadikaras.
Yeah, and they'll never say ma phaleshu kadacha na. Yeah. No, ma karma phalahetu bur. They'll never get to that part of the shloka. We have a right to perform your duty. Yes, you do, but you're not entitled to the results.
At least they say this part. At least those say this part.
Yeah. No, it's always, I mean, that's karma nyeve dikaras te. I know that because every office you'd walk into, in Bombay, Calcutta, anybody's office, and you start talking about devotional service, the first thing they'll bring up is, no, but you're supposed to perform your duty. Because they have this idea that their duty and devotional service don't match. So it's like, okay, we can do some sadhana and all that, but we have to do our duty. You know, which is to make lots of money and enjoy that money. So yeah, so I know that, and just that part of the law. That's all I know of it. The other part I have to think. That just, you know, you've heard it a million times. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami, footnote 49. Srila Jiva Goswami evaluates the Lord to be impartial and demonstrates the Lord to be all merciful in light of the current sutra 2.1.34 as follows. The goal of the Lord's pastimes of fighting is pleasure for the devotees. Protecting the universe is also accomplished by that. Right? So we think, you know, he's establishing Dharma. No, he's giving pleasure to the devotees. And in giving pleasure to the devotees, Dharma is established. See, that's the whole thing. So we're looking at it one way, and at some point we're taking to look at the other way. So we may not be on that level, but we should be very convinced that that's what it is. Right? So that's what we see, is that in the beginning stages, that it's just you're doing your duty, connecting to Krishna, then yes. But then it has to be about pleasing Krishna. And then the duties are to support that. So it takes on that different kind of mood.
Yes.
Right? That's the...
Maharaj, we need to be clear about primary and secondary.
Yes, yes, yes. Because we see it's a very simple formula.
Yes.
But we've been discussing it for years. Why? Because, you mean, I'm not the primary? I'm not the center of the universe? It's kind of like, what do you mean? So, it's a surprise. It's, you know, the shocker, you know, the day. Like, oh my God.
You can try something to oil it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what we see here. That's what Vedanta Sutra is about. You know, the 1,000,000 ways that the material consciousness will try to avoid this point. You know, okay, yeah, he's primary, yeah, but material nature has created everything, so then, you know, that's the consideration. You know, he may be beyond, okay, but here's the, no, he didn't, he created it. No, but how can he create it? He's, you know, this and, you know, it's just, that's what they just go on and on. That's why it says just surrender. And that's why you see is because all this knowledge is so you surrender. So that's why we see the gopis, the residents of Braj, they're the topmost, you know, knowledgeable people, because the conclusion of all that knowledge is to surrender. And they that's why if somebody just surrenders without going through this whole intellectual or whole aspect of karma yoga, jnana yoga, then it's perfect. Like that. So that's why it says it only takes a moment, because it just takes a moment to surrender. You know, it may take a lifetime to agree to surrender. You know, but
manana.
Yes, yes. But that the surrender only takes a moment. That's why we say it can just be a moment. Maharaj Kantvanga became perfect in a moment, literally, because he just surrendered. The gopis just surrendered, just a moment. So that's what we're dealing with. But to have the conviction to surrender, then that's why we go through all these things. The goal of the Lord's pastime of fighting is pleasure for the devotees, right? That's the goal. It's not that, okay, so, but he wants to kill the demon, he wants to establish... No, the goal is to please the devotees. And in the fighting, who should win? If he's pleasing the devotees, who should win? Krishna. So that means then the demon will be... you know, killed or some way not doing what he's doing anymore. It's like we see with, was it Baumasura? He didn't get killed. He just cut off his, you know, left 4 out of 1,000 arms, right? And all that. And so then it works out nice. You're fine with it. Because, you know, but the point is it pleases the devotees. But in pleasing the devotees, then Dharma is established. Right, you know, the universal laws are again put into place, and that's so mean. You try to please Krishna by, let's say, you're cooking. That means you're going to cook nicely, the best you can, and by practice in that, you'll get better. So that means every day you can cook better than yesterday. And but you're doing that to please Krishna. So the ultimate goal is to please Krishna, not to cook nicely. So the same way as he's fighting is for the pleasure of the devotees. Not to kill the demons. He doesn't have to come to kill the demons.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to die of old age anyway. You know, so why does he need to come? Right? Protecting the universe is also accomplished by that. Quote, when the Lord desires to enjoy pastimes with the devotees, having a variety of qualities and moods, vichitrasu, he creates sattva. When he desires to rest after meeting with them, Maya Shakti creates tamas. All the actions of the creation, maintenance, and destruction are for the devotees. This is accepted in Sasar Jach Chava Chanyas Sva Mataratma Prasidyate. Prasidaye. He creates higher and lower so they can worship the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.3. So, as you notice, as we're going along in here, there's more 11th canto being quoted.
Yes.
So, we're just getting a taste of, yeah. So, in other words, it's this knowledge we'll be able to appreciate 11th canto if we can accept, you know. So he creates all these different things because it creates it. So what's recommended in the scriptures, that's shastra, because that's sattva. And it creates the right variety of quality, moods, you know, the activities, all that goes together. So it's the best. Now, doing it just because shastra says, that's sattva. Doing it to please Krishna, that's shuddha sattva. Sleeping refers to the yoga nidra of the Purusha avatar on the ocean of Pralaya, and sometimes refers to the Lord resting in the jiva.
Residing,
okay.
Regarding the sattva and sudha sattva, if we do it to please, to do our duties, that's sattva. To please Krishna, that's sudha sattva. So in this logic, it means that if somebody wants to do things to please Krishna, means sattva is included. Should be.
Means you can do it. Yes, it was sattva is already included because Vishuddha sattva, that's actual goodness. Then when you take goodness and mix it with a small amount of passion ignorance, so it's still predominantly goodness, that's what's called goodness. Right? And then when the passion predominates, it's called passion, when the ignorance predominates. So it's never 100%. But Vishuddha sattva is 100%.
So the next level would be, and when devotees, they don't follow what's prescribed, and they claim that they do it to please Krishna.
Right. Then it has that aspect of that, but it also has the aspect of what they're mixing it with. Because the point is sattva means the qualities, the moods, so the mood or the qualities aren't being used properly, or the ingredients aren't proper, so it'll have that mix. That's why it's called mixed devotional service. It is pure devotional service mixed with the modes of nature. Right? And that even means goodness. Right? You're attached to, you'd like to do everything properly in that, but you're attached to no trouble, no problems. So, you know, so many different big services are a problem, so you don't get involved. That's mode of goodness. Right? So pure devotion is mixed with goodness, so it's not pure goodness. There, it's mixed. So it may be a superior mix, but it's still mixed. Because the point is yes, the one is there, but yes, the other is also there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Maharaj, I'm unable to understand this particular text that he creates sattva and creates tamas. This is material, about the material?
This means he creates those. There's the principle. There's the metaphysical aspect. And the principle on the primary creation, he creates all these things for that. Now what people use them for, that's another thing. That's why it goes on to say, sleeping refers to yoga nidra. So we're talking on the transcendental platform, but it takes on that flavor. So that coming into the material world, then it takes on the modes here. But in the spiritual world, it takes on those flavors there. Though the Supreme Lord resides in all jivas as the Antaryami, he does not remain out of attachment. He resides in the devotee, however, out of attachment to the devotee. Right? So in every living entity, he's there as Paramatma, but he's not there because of his attachment. He's just there because, you know, that's what he does. You know, it's his nature. But he's with the devotees because of attachment, which is also his nature. Right? In other words, he's a person by nature. He's God by nature. He's Brahma. He's everything by nature. Like that. Mm-hmm. He has these three features. Yeah.
For devotees, as Swarupa, Swarupa nature is there.
Yes. Since he's associating with the jiva, just as Antaryami, is not his desire. Is not his desire the explanation just given is preferred? Huh? Mm-hmm. Since it's associated with the jiva, just as Anjayami is not his desire, the explanation just given is preferable.
Which one?
Means the one of attachment to the devotee.
The one of attachment to the devotees and the next of Gita. The next level.
So. Yeah, just need some comments, that's all.
I didn't understand. Which one is preferable?
The above explanation that is attached.
It should be, since it's associated with the jiva is just as Antaryami is not his desire. Right? The explanation just given, meaning this one here, he resides in the, with the devotee, however I've attached to the devotee, is preferable. Gita says, all entities are within me, but I am not in them, and the living entities are not in me. See my inconceivable power. Bhagavad Gita 9:4-5. But those who worship me with devotion are in me and I am in them. Like the other, he's just there because everything is him anyway. But he is a person with his own personality. He's not there. They're not in him, he's not in them. So they're situated in Brahman, the Paramatma aspect. But the point is, as devotees, then it's the personal. Because that's the whole point. The Brahman and Paramatma, those are two features that are everything. But he, as a person, is beyond that. Yes?
Who is, brings it down in the mind of the devotees that Paramatma is in everyone's heart?
Right.
So a person at one point decides finally to surrender.
Right.
And then Paramatma is still there. Nothing changed.
You want him to go away?
No. What about the relationship?
What about the relationship?
Because here we talk about that Paramatma resides in the devotee's heart because of the attachment
right.
to the devotee. But this attachment is the result of some kind of relationship, which usually means devotional service.
Yes, yes.
And then the relationship becomes established.
Yes.
And then attachment comes.
Right.
So devotees usually ask, what are we developing relationship with, Paramatma or the Supreme Lord, or how we view them both?
But are they two different people?
No.
Then sometimes what's the problem?
Sometimes we stress the difference, sometimes we stress the similarity.
Yeah. But what is the function that's being performed? Why is Krishna coming as Paramatma? Why do we use the term localized?
Because he is in everyone's heart.
Right, because Brahman is all-pervading. Mm-hmm. It's not localized, it's just everywhere. But then as Paramatma, he's localized. So there he's taking care of them. He's a person, he's taking care of all this. But the point is, as Paramatma, are you engaged in a personal relationship with him? No, so that's why he's called Paramatma. If you're engaged in a personal relationship, then it's called Bhagavan. Mm. You know, it's just like, the high court judge to the other barristers in the court, what is he?
A court judge.
Right, okay. His family is there. What is he? Yeah, he has that relationship. So he may do that work, but he's a person, you know. But the others, he's all they know is he's the high court judge. They relate with him like that, and that's all. So it's just a matter of your relationship. It's not a matter of, you know, you don't have to do. You just have to have that devotion for Krishna. It's automatically how it works. It's the same person.
So can we say that the form actually adjusts to the relationship? Of the Lord, the way we deal with him
means as you surrender, he reciprocates. Right?
Yes.
So then, how are they surrendered to him? Because Braja Krishna, what does that mean?
Absolute
surrender. Yes. And what does it mean that I'm only going to the temple because that's the rule? And doing the artik because it's the rule. I'm making an offering because it's the rule. No, no, but you're doing it to please Krishna. Yeah, but within these levels that we're talking about, would we call that sadhana bhakti, rag bhakti, prema bhakti? Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. And which place in the spiritual world, where everybody's on the platform of you know, transcendental position, what area within the spiritual world is that the prominent flavor? And how many arms does he have?
Four arms.
Right, yeah, so then what's the problem? You understand? So we can say, no, but I'm just worshipping Krishna. It says, yeah, I bet Krishna will reciprocate with you according to how you deal with him. You know what I'm saying? So the individual may be worried about, I only want to worship Krishna, I don't want to worship Parma, I don't want to go to Vaikuntha. It says, okay, but why are you at Mangalarti? Are you there because you want to see the Lord first thing in the morning? Or you want to see your phone and check your messages first thing in the morning?
The phone.
Yeah, it's dangerous walking and driving and all that. So there's a new app on your phone that, because when you walk down the street, you know, you bump into things and that, so the app will tell you what's going on in front of you. And so you just do the app and it'll show that you have to move around something. Or something. So you don't even have to look at the ground.
Still we can focus on message on Maharaj, not on the other app.
So the point is that as we're dealing on the spontaneous platform of affection, it doesn't mean whimsical, but spontaneous affection, then, in other words, seeing Krishna, there's no thought, oh, it's the deity and this and that. It's just, it's Krishna. Do something, it's there. There's no intellectual step to bring it to Krishna. As long as that intellectual step's there, that's Vaidhi. When that's not there, that's Rag. You know what I'm saying? And so then, they're still dealing on that, so Krishna as Paramatma is dealing. But as they have that surrender, then the mood changes. It's not, the problem is not, oh, it's Vishnu, I can't worship. It's that, no, you're not worshiping Krishna, that's why he's as Vishnu. Does that make sense? You're formal, he deals formally. You deal, you know, differently, he deals differently. But it's not by informality of this world. It means, informality means it's just based on affection. Because otherwise it'll say, oh, I'll change my externals. No, that's not the difference. That's what sahajis do. They take it that rag bhakti is a different practice. It's the same practice. Does that make sense?
Prabhupada in chapter 1 Bhagavad Gita, it tells, because a pure devotee completely surrenders to the Lord, so the Lord directly directs the senses of the pure devotee.
Oh. Yes, he'll take care. Because he desires to engage in Krishna's service, so Krishna will see that they are always engaged. Yeah, very good. Okay. It is said in Hari Bhakti Shudodoy, Bhaktanam Hridayam Shantam Shashiro Me Priyam Griham Vasami Tatra Shobhaiva Vaikunta Kyadi Varana. I reside in the gentle hearts of the devotees who are my dear house as well as Lakshmi's. Those hearts have the beauty of Vaikunta. Because it's always about devotion. So then, where Krishna's staying in the body and the heart, then that becomes a very nice place. It's like Vaikuntha. Because it's always about Krishna. O King, the Lord as time, friend of the devatas, increases the devatas in sattva by the Lord's influence, and destroys the demons inimical to them, who are covered by rajas and tamas. 7.1.11.12, right? Because before it mentioned that when the Lord desires to enjoy pastimes with the devotees, having a variety of qualities and moods, vichitrasu, he creates sattva. So then you see us here, then because friend of the devatas, therefore the mode of goodness becomes established, which is the demigods, and the modes of passion and ignorance, rajas and tamas, become conquered. Samsaya, so doubt. If the Lord has no goal, why does he sometimes not make the demons his friends and fight with the devatas? So you see, how is this coming up? It's just logic. It's not understanding the mood of the Lord, the devotees, and all that, right? So they just bring this up just because they see a seemingly a hole in the argument. But that's if there's no point to the argument, other than just being logical and winning, right? But the point is you're trying to establish the Lord's mood with the devotees. Right? That's what you're trying to establish. Therefore, you wouldn't bring that up. Right? Uttara. The Lord is affectionate to devotees who exist among the devatas, Sura Priya. Among the devatas prenominated by Sattva, because of their general loyalty to the Lord is attracted to them. Right? Sometimes, when they commit offense to Brihaspati and others, their devata nature becomes covered by contamination. Then those persons among the devatas are not favored by the Lord. This was explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.8. Right? So we see as those devatas that don't act in that Krishna conscious position, then at that time they're not favored. Because their natural position of sattva in relation to the Lord is lost. So then they end up doing something else. Shamshaya, why do the demons not follow the devotees? Uttara, since they have no taste, rajas and tamas cause extreme rejection of the Lord. Right, so they don't have a taste from the goodness, so then the rajas and tamas just make them reject. It's just the way the modes work. Like that. Because you don't want, so therefore then you don't get. Because everyone wants a taste. And you want just a ho-hum, blasé taste. Right? Is blasé French?
Yeah.
Huh? Blasé?
Mm-hmm.
No? Just wondering where that word comes from. Blasé, just ordinary. Nothing special.
Yes.
It is. It is. I was thinking, I was thinking a French word. Can't be.
I'm making letters from
starting to catch. Only taken 10 years.
Yes.
In order, that word seems to French. Okay, great.
Actually, we don't use so much nowadays. Maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, but all these are also old words. Yeah. Just because there's also old stuff. Because it means when you work in certain kind of like cultural groups, they like to use the older archaic. It's more fun. You know, so it's that from the literary, that from that, or old, you know, like that. You know, so, yeah. Yes, they have no taste, okay? So, everyone wants a taste. That's what they're endeavoring for. So, to have no taste for the Lord, and so therefore you'll get as much taste of not being attracted to the Lord as someone is attracted to the Lord, how is that supposed to come up? So that happens by the modes of nature. So passion and ignorance, then they create extreme rejection of the Lord. That's all. And so then they're getting a taste. But it's material, you know, and it's going to create a problem, but, they, you know, they're getting it. And then those who are surrendered to the Lord, then they get an extreme taste the other way. Right? Because it's all about extreme, right? Yeah, they have extreme sports, and we have extreme taste. Yes. Okay.
It's the same principle as you surrender, Krishna reciprocates.
Yes. So that's all. So, but the point is, it's all about taste. Everyone's doing everything for rasa. So it's just a matter of what rasa. Is it relationship to Krishna? Is it moving towards him? Or is it moving in the other way? Shamshaya. But it is inappropriate for the Lord to punish them constantly. Right? Why always constantly punish them? Right? Uttara. That is not so. The Lord has fame spread everywhere. Urushravaha. He gives them mercy also, as in the case of Putana. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2, 23, and others. So it's just, he just reciprocates as they surrender. Mm-hmm. They're nice, he reciprocates that. They're not nice, he reciprocates that way. It's not that he's partial. Remember, this is all about saying he's partial and cruel. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. He's partial to the devotees and cruel to the demons. Right? Mm-hmm. No, everybody's getting what they want. Inimical kings like Shishupal, Pandurka, and Shalva, while they were lying down, sitting, or engaging in other activities, enviously meditated upon the bodily movements of the Lord, his sporting pastimes, and his loving glances. Being thus always absorbed in Krishna, they achieve positions in the spiritual world. What then can be said of the benedictions offered to those who constantly fix their minds on Krishna in a favorable, loving mood? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.48. So if they get the spiritual world by always being absorbed in Him, all aspects of the Lord, and they can attain the spiritual world, what's the position obtained by those who are always in a loving, favorable mood? Right? So you see that their exchange with the Lord will be even greater. The depth will be even greater. All aspects of unequal treatment and cruelty in the Lord have been rejected. The Lord should be viewed like a rain cloud which sprinkles water everywhere. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Okay. This inherent meaning is confirmed by the arguments in Brahma Sutra. Right? So, the mercy is there everywhere. It's just who takes it then gets the benefit, and who doesn't does it. Just like if we distribute food everywhere, those who take the food will get the nourishment. Those who don't won't. It's not that it's something else. Yeah.
Just the verse quoted previously, the 11.548.
Oh yes. Okay.
So here the example is given of Shishupal, Pandurka, and Shalva.
Right.
Actually, this is explained in the Bhakti Sandarbha much more detailedly. There he says they have raga, but the rasa of the raga is not a proper one. It is unfavorable rasa.
Yes.
But it's a kind of raga. I mean, he doesn't classify under Vaidhi Bhakti. Because of their absorption in Lord, they went back to Godhead.
Yes, but it's because of the absorption, not the rasa they were using.
Yes.
Yes.
So then they give, because of the absorption, they went back to Godhead. So that proves here that even if you are favorably or unfavorably absorbed, then you can go back to Godhead.
Right.
But at the same time, it is not recommended because they give example of Vena. He was unfavorably absorbed, but not fully, because of which he has to suffer sinful reaction.
Okay, so if it goes wrong, very good for him. So if it goes wrong, he gets really bad. But in devotional service, if you're favorable, even if it's not perfect, it still never gives a bad result.
Like sometimes some expert do it something in a very not ordinary way, but he may get a result. But it's never recommended.
Yes, because if you try it, you won't. It'll end up worse.
So this doubt always come up that how can they go back to spiritual world and whether... Because
they're fully absorbed. Yeah, no, that's good. Good to point that out. Okay. Thank you.
Maharaj, in this reply, the second line, the Lord has His fame spread everywhere. In the Uttara second line.
Yes.
So in trying to refute the samshaya, what it means, I'm not able to get this particular line. Why Lord's fame is being pointed out? That Lord's fame is spread everywhere. And the example is given of Putana being given mercy. So that nullifies the argument. But why it is we mentioned that his fame is spread everywhere?
Because he's known everywhere. Everybody knows him.
Everybody knows this glory of Lord.
Just means they know. It's just like in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami is pointing out that the demons in the lower planets sleep peacefully at night. Because they know, unless they do something to disturb the Lord, He won't come and bother them. Mm-hmm. So they can sleep peacefully at night. Right? So His fame is... So everybody knows the Lord. You know, so everybody, you know, basically will respect some, whether they like Him or not, but they'll always have that respect. Indra, that's another thing. But Vishnu, then they'll always... And so we see his mercy is spread. And he gives us some other... Because they're making this point, we don't want to too much emphasize this aspect of the mercy that's given, otherwise then they won't catch the point. The point is that the demons don't surrender, that's why then he deals with them up to that point. But it's pointed out there, because they're always remembering. That aspect is what takes them back to Godhead, not the secondary rasas and that they're using. Mm. Right? Because that won't be part of their relationship in the spiritual world, because it's not favorable. Because secondary rasas without the primary aren't actually so favorable. Because technically, they're counted as the rasas, but they're technically part of the, I forget what it is, I think the centuries. Like that. But they're in their own kind of category because they can be quite prominent. You know, so it's like the cowherd boys, they have a Sakya relationship, and let's say now they're all sitting and joking, so then Hasya, it's supporting that. So it's just there. Then it move on. Now let's say if the forest fire is there, then now there's fear, you know, like that. Or, you know, it changes. But these are categorized. There's you know, it's just these seven have their own kind of, within the sanctuary, they kind of have their own category.
Yeah. For this particular point, you know, when the samshaya comes up, that why does he punish them constantly, and that Jiva Goswami is giving the uttar that it is his mercy. So basically what we are saying is that in the external, that he has been killed or something like that, but
he's?
That Uttana has been killed or others have been killed, we think that is not being merciful, but the ultimate mercy is that they return to the spiritual world. That's the mercy he's been spoken of.
Yes, that's the mercy. Vaishamya nair grine na sapeksha shavtvat tata hi darshayati. The Lord is neither prejudiced nor cruel, because bodies are created according to karma. Scripture shows this. Brahma Sutra 2.134. Paramatma Sandharva. Right? So that was also, yeah, from Paramatma. So that's how it goes, yes.
So the point that Prabhu mentioned also in the past type of Ajamil, Vishnu Chakravarti, where he mentioned that although he didn't call for Narayan as the Lord, mm-hmm. he called for his son.
Right, right.
But he called it with a very deep feeling.
Right.
So then Narayan heard not only the call, but the feeling he had.
Oh, okay.
And although it wasn't towards him, mm-hmm. he appreciated that rock, that emotion.
Okay.
So that was one of the reasons he came.
Okay.
I mean, he sent it there.
Sent the Vishnu to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see it's about that mood, but then there's a recommendation that's there. Because Ajamil, from calling like that, then he was saved, but it's not that he didn't have to continue his sadhana.
Right.
Because we see after that whole pastime with the Vishnu Dutas and Yama Dutas, after they went, then he was put into a situation where you see from the verses, then now he became fixed in devotional service. So in other words, he fell before from unfixed. You know, he must have been by practice and sadhana, you know, doing his work, his activities. But now he's fixed, and then you see he got taste, he got attachment, and like this, and then he went back to Godhead.
Yeah.
Well, then if it's done in the recommended, that's why you can't just take, oh, it's just the mood and not take the form, or just the form. That's the problem, is that's you have the razor's edge, and one side it's all about the form, one side it's all about the mood.
Yeah.
But the middle is about Krishna. You know, so when you have Krishna, then those two go along with it.
But. Yeah, I think in the same purport, Vishnu Chakravarti, he mentions that time after was given to him to complete his bath in the Dasya Ras.
Yes.
Because it wasn't complete at that point. They
No. It was, because otherwise, if it was complete, why would he have fallen away and basically kind of forgotten the Lord? Because it's because Narad Muni recommended. That's why he named his son Narayana. Otherwise, you know, it would have probably been, you know, George or Harold or something.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitya Gaura Premanandi.